When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready. Oh, I'm sorry. Good morning and welcome to Inside High School Sports. Tony Caligiuri here along with Tom Prince, WNY Athletics. Roger Weiss is here. And we have Mr. Kyrie Demos from the Niagara Gazette, who is now a regular on the program, and we love having Kyrie around. Derek Kramer is producing. If you notice a little more pep in my voice this morning, that's because I just had an unbelievable blast from the past.
Breaking news.
Breaking da-da-da-da-da-da. Go outside our studio to let Roger in, because we have these things, these fobs, to get into the building. And it's my time to go to the restroom one more time before the start of the show. So we're coming through the door, and I see Linda Pellegrino. Many of you guys know her from Channel 7, and she hosts Senior Radio here at Entercom. So we're chatting, and she has a guest with her. And she goes, Tony Caligiuri, Norm Mandolin. And Norm says, he goes, Golden Dragon Kung Fu Society. Now, my ears perk. Now, I recognize Norm's name. I contacted him a couple of years ago. I was doing a search for Golden Dragon Kung Fu Society. That's where I took Kung Fu when I was a little kid. I was about 7, 8, 9 years old, right around then. And I came across, Norm has a studio on Transit Road, Mandolin Kung Fu. And Norm was a fellow classmate. He's now a red sash master. So that's the highest you can get in Kung Fu. The studying that you have to do to become a red sash is absolutely incredible, what you have to put in. Norm, I believe, was a brown belt or black belt back then. And this is the time where we all traveled to Detroit. I fought for the national championship, the Pee Wee division, and lost in the finals. And we're going through that memory. But I hadn't seen Norm since I was, 9 years old. And here I am. I wish I had more time to talk with him and go down memory lanes. We did a little bit about our old instructor, Ting Fong Wong, Master Wong.
Master Wong.
Who was from China, and he was a red sash. So he became a master in China. Absolutely amazing thrill to go back memory lanes. That's something that far back. In fact, I quit Kung Fu because I got interested in football. So that tie-in there. But wow, absolutely incredible to be able to run into somebody you haven't seen that long ago. And I was so happy.
Isn't it crazy how small this world is?
It really is.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Great memories. And it's like now I want to go back and see more pictures. But I told him I was going to stop in his studio sometime so we can go down memory lane and just talk about the good old days and things like that. It was absolutely... Roger's sitting there like, why is Tony getting all excited? What's going on here? He's happy to see
Linda. Too early in the morning for this.
So how are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
I'm doing great. Hey, listen, I got a chance to witness two fantastic games yesterday, so I'm excited. Besides being a little bit cold, it was a fantastic day yesterday, and I think it's going to lead into another great day today over at the stadium. And let me put a little asterisk there. Oh, and by the way, a St. Joe's Canisius game to boot.
Yeah. I'm checking that one out today. I can't wait to check that one out.
That's it's a great day because tonight we have our Niagara Falls Junior Football Club banquet. And look forward to that. Banquets are fun. And you see how excited the kids get. They go out there, they dance, and they have fun. It is funny because Nick and his friends, they usually get their own table. And he goes, yeah, so the coaches could talk amongst themselves without us being around.
It's a nice time to actually, be able to sit back and reflect a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And you kind of look forward to next year, and you talk to the kids, see who's going to be returning. And I was going through memories today on Facebook, and I found the video that we took last year. Nick received the Sportsmanship Award. He never missed practice, never late for a practice, never once complained about running laps or doing any particular drill. Whatever the coaches asked of him, he did. He was always a positive teammate. So the coaches surprised him and gave him a Sportsmanship Award. So I was going through the video just to see the look on his face, how surprised he was that he received it. He was on cloud nine that night, and it's a great memory. Tom, you've been able to witness many with your kids, and it's neat from a parent's point of view to look back and like, wow, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we were talking about that too, even the stuff that's going on at the stadium right now. Like, I was asked, what was it like to be there as a dad to just sit and watch?
Yeah.
Like, as a parent. And, I have the experience. I am lucky to have Zachary, my oldest, who was the last part of the last Orchard Park team to win at the stadium. And going into last night's game was the last team to also lose at the stadium. So he's been on both sides of the spectrum. And it is just amazing to sit back and reflect and realize, wow, just how great it is to play inside of an NFL stadium and just to be able to sit back. And
I can't picture the part of, being a parent and you're watching your son on that field.
Yeah, it was something, and I sit way up high, as high as I could there. It's just kind of like trying to stay warm. And
were you even able to sit still?
I did the tailgating, but no, I wasn't. And he actually had two fantastic games. The first one was against the Ken West team. That was great at that, and he had a big sack in that game. And then everybody knows his senior year when he played against Lancaster, he had like 12 tackles from the D tackle spot. And
I remember the Ken West game. That was a good game.
Yeah, and he had the character athlete of the game at the end of it too, which is a parent as you're sitting there and you hear your son's name announced over the loudspeaker.
Did you have tears?
Pretty close. I won't lie. I was pretty damn proud. I won't lie. But it just shows us those awards. What people don't realize are really an incredible award to receive, and especially on a stage like that. Don't take anything lightly. You really don't, because you don't know if that's going to be the last time you ever play a game, even as a player. Kyrie, you'd be the first one to talk about that, right? You don't know whether that high school is going to be. Every kid could have the intention of playing at the next level, but when you get there, you don't know what to expect. It could be the last time that you play a game. Don't take it for granted. You know what I mean? Understand that it is such a precious moment to be there, live it, understand it, and enjoy it all at the same time.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I was literally last night just talking about this. My senior year, we won AA North. We're the number one seed. We beat Clarence in the first round. Like, unbelievable game. 27-point comeback win. And, we play Orchard Park the second week. And, all we're talking about is, hey, if we win this game, we're going to the stadium, guys. Like, we got to get it done. And, to lose to those guys twice, we were up both games. The second game, we were up at halftime. And to drop that game and to know, hey, that's a team. Like, looking back on it now, that's a team that lost in the state title game. And we had leads on them. It's like we were that close. But those moments, you just never know. That's why at the end of that game, I don't know, I was just so distraught. I'm like, I don't know when I'm ever going to start in a football game again,
Mm-hmm.
So you really got to be in perspective.
What blows my mind away is, we'll be at the banquet tonight. And there'll literally be kids there when their parents don't even come to watch them. That blows my mind away. I can't comprehend that. you know, how you cannot be there to support your child.
Kyrie, someday when you get to be a parent at one of those games, it's going to be a lot more difficult sitting up there because you can't do a damn thing about it.
Oh,
whereas out on the field, once the game starts, everything's cool.
Yeah. No, I've had to I've really experienced that the last 2 years. I commentated a St. John Fisher game, and then, you know, obviously covering Lockport this year. You know, people asking me, man, like, we wish you were still out there. I'm like, listen, I do too, but, you know, I want to try to enjoy it from this side now. But it's still hard because, it's, you know, you wish you could be able to help them out there.
Well, and listen, we all are competitive at heart still, no matter what it is, whatever we do in life. And that competitive nature comes out. It really does. And that's what's coming out for you, is you want to get out there and enjoy this. So, no, there's no doubt. And to be honest with you, I still got another one coming up in the ranks, so.
But wait,
so who knows what Lukey's going to provide for us? But you know, we'll see. Just about everyone in Western New York already knows about Luke too. So
the mayor. All right, guys, let's get into our news and notes, and I want to start it off with the college football recruiting night. Is Tuesday, December 3rd from 6 to 8:30 at New Era Field, the Pepsi Club. You're going to want to go into the west entrance, gate number 6. The all senior and junior high school football players, public or private in West New York, are welcome. This event is conducted to help expose our quality area juniors and seniors to as many college football coaches as possible in a casual, convenient setting. The event will provide an outstanding opportunity for college coaches to meet our juniors and seniors and parents and discuss a variety of recruiting and financial issues. Available will be Division II and Division III college and university football representatives. So this is a big event. You're going to want to check this out. If you want further information, you can go online, wnyamateurfootball.com. wnyamateurfootball.com. That'll get you to the website and get information.
So we all know that Len Jenkins has done a fabulous job putting this together. Let's also throw him a congratulations on being entered into the Buffalo Hall of Fame.
Hall of Famer.
You're talking about somebody that is partially responsible. You know, he and Dick Gallagher, I look at those two as my godfathers. Len, who recruited me to be the voice of Lancaster on WXRL for so many years, and I owe a lot to him for that, as well as helping me with coaching. When I first got into coaching, Len was there and able to tutor me in a lot of different areas of coaching, and I will forever be grateful for him, you know, just the things that he's done and what I've witnessed from this seat and what he's meant to high school athletics all across the area. Words can't describe it. Absolutely amazing.
I think one of the coolest things about him is, like, as great of a coach as he's been, he would never withhold any information, advice, something that he could share to help you. You know, that was always the cool thing. You know, we played against him, I want to say, when I was a freshman in high school. But, you know, to see what, you know, him being honored like that, you know, really shouts out to him.
Absolutely. Great man. And big congratulations to Coach Jankiewicz. Now, our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to livefit.com, throw in your nomination and why your coach deserves to be nominated. Congratulations to Barker Field hockey coach Jeff Costello. Back-to-back Section 6 titles. I believe it's the 15th since 2001. 15th. That's pretty amazing.
Those girls, man, I've been covering them this year. They've just been an unbelievable team. And shout out to Katrina Clare, Rachel Hurtgem, you know, the whole Serena Harris. Their team is really stacked. And, you know, it's just a trickle-down effect. Coach Costello has built one of the strongest programs, not just in field hockey, in any program in Western New York.
Yeah, outstanding stuff. Again, if you want to nominate a coach, livefit.com for the G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. Did you guys have anything else for news and notes?
Well, first of all, 15 times in 19 years, that's all?
Yep. That's all?
That's all, right?
What happened those other 4 years? My goodness.
Yeah.
No, seriously, congratulations. That's something, wow. And I just want to give a shout out for Amari DeBerry. She verbally committed to the University of UConn to play basketball.
Wow, whoa. That's no joke. That's
she's
no
only
joke.
Going into her junior year.
That's like getting recruited to Alabama to play football.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's, you know, her only decision was she going to go to UConn or was she going to go to Notre Dame to play girls basketball?
Hey, one or
tough
two.
Decisions.
One or two.
Man.
You know?
Outstanding. Congratulations.
And Notre Dame may say we're one, too, exactly. There. So, I mean, they've got a claim up there. That is absolutely incredible. It brings some more legitimacy to Western New York. What's going on? Congratulations to her. That is huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and having a kid like Roddy Gale in the boys' basketball side, too.
Who just got an offer from Syracuse out there. So Coach Boeheim with an offer out to Roddy Gale. That's another huge thing here for Western New York.
Yeah, he's had a little bit of success tapping into Western New York with Paul Harris and Johnny Flynn.
Yeah, you know, that was actually a big reason why he recruited the area because Paul's connection with Roddy and those guys. So shouts out to Paul Harris. Spoke with him about a month or two ago on their documentary series that they did on Niagara Falls basketball.
Yeah, pretty cool stuff there. All right, guys, let's get into talking about last night's games. The Maritime defeating Albion 34-20 and Lancaster beating Orchard Park 23-17. And Tom, before the program, you brought up an amazing point, and it's an obvious point, and that is it all changes this time of the year when the temperature drops. It's you practice different, you play different, different things can happen than when you're playing in September.
Yeah, listen, and I said this on during the game last night. We hit 27 degrees. I think it got down as low as 25 towards the end of the Orchard Park Lancaster game. This is the first time we've hit this type of weather so far this season. These kids have not been able to practice in it. They've not been able to prepare for it. They've not been able to get ready for it. So we saw key fumbles in both games, a lot of fumble in the ball, some drop passes, some things that you may not normally see at this point. But again, it was something new to the players this season because we didn't get a chance to experience this.
When it's
cold, the weather's coming into play.
Right. When it's cold, it's different holding the ball. It's different. The ball tends to
be slick.
Slick, yeah. Leave your hands. Like, hey, wait, where are you going? Get back here.
It's a little tougher. It's almost like a rock, you know, trying to catch the football at that point. So, yeah, it's definitely a factor. And especially how quick the weather changed. It was like 60 degrees last week.
Even for receivers, you know, it's not as soft as it was earlier in the year. It makes it tougher to catch. And for quarterbacks, tougher to throw.
I mean, you even saw Game 1, Maritime, who we all know is such a fabulous team, right? I mean, we watched 5 different running backs actually carry the ball last night, right? They are that strong. But there were a lot of fun. There were some key fumbles in this game, too, after some long runs, 30-yard runs, 35-yard runs. And again, you're hitting a harder ground. You're hitting, like I said, a ball is harder. A lot of different things came into play. Second game, Lancaster 4 turnovers that were, you know, key that unfortunately Orchard Park wasn't able to capitalize on. So you give some big kudos to these teams out there playing, but they were not used to the weather, and I believe weather was a little bit of a factor.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Tom's going to break down the two games from last night. We also have today's games to talk about. And as you guys, you know, Canisius St. Joe's plus the 3 games at the stadium, so we're going to get into all that. But before we go to the break, I do want to let people know that there is a rally today. It's at Strad Avenue at the Fire Hall, and that's right next to where North Tonawanda Little League plays. Assemblyman Angelo Morinello is going to be there. State Senator Rob Ort's going to be there, and what they're trying to do is save the game of football. If you're on Facebook, there is a page called Save Youth Football. I strongly suggest you get on this. The game's in danger, folks. If New York State is able to ban tackle football for kids 12 and under, you can say goodbye to youth football, and the damage that it will do to high school football will be enormous. And, Tom, you brought up some great points before about what's going to happen if they are able to ban it. So I strongly suggest get out there, sign petitions, call your assemblyman, call your state senator, let your voices be heard that you want – the decision whether to let your child play football, not the state. So this is what we're facing here. I mean, I can't even picture what it's going to be like if they are able to pass it. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, more from last night and today. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm cracking up laughing because we always get in. I mean, inevitably the discussion turns to food in here. And I was just telling Tom about the Festival of Slice coming up and how every pizzeria in Niagara Falls will be represent. Not everyone, but most of them will be in one spot where you get to sample all different kinds of pizzas. You know, you like a white pizza, you like a pizza with hot peppers, you like, you know, margarita pizza, whatever the different kind, you get to have them, all the different ones in different stations. In fact, it's in the same venue that our banquet is tonight. So I was trying to, but Tom disappointed me. He says he likes that thin crust New York style.
Oh, that's
still
true.
Pretty
pizza.
Good. Still pretty good.
It's okay. I mean, but it's, you know, you're still hungry afterwards.
Someone said this to me. What's the worst pizza you've ever had?
I can't name the name of the chain place.
Exactly. But, like, the worst pizza is not that bad.
Actually,
you know?
The worst pizza I had was in Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
They just could not make pizza. When I lived there, no.
I don't think of food when I think of Las Vegas, so I could see that for
sure.
Well,
I lived there, so that was all I
had. I ate a lot of other things before food.
That's what I'm saying.
I mentioned before the break about the rally that it's at Strad Avenue today next to North Tonawanda's Little League Field. It starts at 12 o'clock, so if you're interested in going there to support Save Youth Football, I'll meet you there after the program. All right, guys, let's get into talking about the games last night. You mentioned two good games. You had first start off with the Maritime game, Maritime versus Albion. As I said, that was 34-20.
So if we were going into this game, I think a lot of people felt that Maritime was probably going to run away with this game. There was just that much talent on the side of the ball for Maritime. I will tell you, Albion stepped up and played an incredible game. And if it was for one defensive stop along the way that they could have gotten, this game could have flipped very easily. And it was very close at one point where you were starting to wonder, is that one stop going to happen? But again, let's talk about what happens. Special teams is huge when it comes to this Maritime team. Another one run back to start off the game for a touchdown, which puts Albion in the hole. And then later on, another one run back down to the 2-yard line, which sets up a heartbreaker for Albion because Maritime easily scores then. It's just special teams is unbelievable for this team. And then you add in how good they are offensively and defensively is even better. But what I saw Albion made a nice switch in the middle of the game or in the middle of the first half. They actually go to Deontay Farley. It's a running back, 6'1", 215. This guy's a bruiser, man. So when he would go, what they did is they had a great change of pace. They would actually use this pitch where they pitch it deep to the outside, which would go either to Brilliance Johnson or T. Ray White. And they would actually go a nice pitch to the outside, get speed out to the edges with them. So, and the pitch was far enough to where it got past the DNs, and then what you were able to do is get to the outside. So then when they started opening up, that's when they would actually bring in Farley to go right up the gut and be able to run, and they were starting to have some real steam go here. In the first half, Fermanski didn't complete a pass in the first half. Second half, he opens up. Starts off with a touchdown, a nice passing touchdown. Things starting to open up. Fermanski starting to throw the ball, hit his receivers. Two times they were going for first down, ended up like a half yard short of the first down, so they weren't able to go far. So, listen, give Albion a ton of credit because they really did stay in this game, and a couple of things could have happened where it really could have changed momentum. But I will tell you, I know we talked about it before, how good this Maritime team is. Please understand, they legitimately have five kids at any point that could run the ball at you. You've got John Washington, Makai Bridgers, Maurice Vaughn, and then you add in their quarterback, Jayon Washington, and I'm telling you, it's a threat. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's tough to prepare.
Oh, and this is what they do. Here's their line that they do. They'll take the three running backs and line them up in a straight line, in essence, right behind the quarterback.
Yeah, so, T-formation.
T-formation.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and again, I'm just trying to explain it so people that may not know the T-formation, but they'll line them straight up behind the quarterback. They will hand it off to any of those three at any time. And it's all misdirection is what it is that they come off that. So Washington could run it. Bridgers could run it. Vaughn can run it. Anybody can run it. And they'll go in different gaps that are out there.
That reminds me of old-time Army football.
Oh, yeah. And it's also a testament to that offensive line of Maritime because it's constant moving.
That.
It really
big
is.
Boys.
It's big, but it's constant movement on that line to open up the holes so that these running backs can be as effective as they are. So, I mean, Maritime is legit. And now that the weather is getting colder and colder, that running attack is going to be huge moving forward. And I'm telling you, the Maritime team, they are legit. They are going to be a tough team to beat. You will see them compete in the next week. Whoever comes out of the B, I'm excited. I think this is a team that could really go far.
If they protect the ball, if they do a good job of minding their business, protecting the ball, I could see them making a long run.
Tom mentioned the line, and we really should give a shout because even the trench people were impressed last night. Terrion Vernon, their offensive right guard, he is the real deal. He dominates. And, you know, it's nice, like I said, the whole offensive line obviously opening up holes, but this guy is the primary.
I warned Roger. Go, Roger, Roger, don't manhandle the microphone. There it goes.
Look, hold on. 6'4", 260 he is. Woo. I had a chance to interview him at Media Day, and he stood like right over my right shoulder, and I'm going to tell you, I know I've lost some weight and I've gotten a little bit smaller, but man, this kid dwarfed me. I mean, he's a big boy. He really is. So I understand why he dominates and why he's making an impact. Listen, he's good. This kid is really good, and this Maritime team was ready to play. No doubt about it. Great job by Maritime. But I want to also throw a shout out to Albion because
they could have laid down after being down early.
They really
could have. Very impressive.
Yep. Went down almost three scores, came back, fought hard. And at one point, you saw them, their sidelines, the kids trying to get the sidelines into it, tried to get their parents and student section going. They were doing everything they can to get in this game, and I give them a lot of credit for staying in there all the way to the end.
Absolutely.
Tony, that Terrion Vernon we're talking about, Media Day, it looked like he came right from practice and didn't have time to take his pants off.
Wow.
That's how big this guy is. Man.
I wanted to actually give a quick shout-out to Albion, too, Coach O.C. Bennett. He actually grew up with my father. So
cool.
So just wanted to shout him out. And just great season from Albion there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Orchard Park Lancaster game, we knew that this was going to be a heavyweight title fight. Whoever came out on top is going to be well deserved. Lancaster 23-17 over OP. You had some really interesting stats.
So these stats are unofficial.
Listen to this.
So our stat guy Tim Wegren for WNY Athletics had these stats, but here's some of the stats for the first half. Lancaster 71 yards. Orchard Park 71 yards. End of the game. Lancaster 228 yards. Orchard Park 228 yards.
Wow.
You can't make this stuff up.
You know,
no.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if I was to throw out a player of the game, the player of the game for Lancaster Orchard Park should be the Lancaster defense. To give up four turnovers and hold Orchard Park to 3 points within those four turnovers is absolutely amazing. And that's a testament to the defense of Lancaster to keep them in the game. They go in at halftime down 3-0, and Lancaster's got to believe at this point that the momentum's on their side because they had just turned the ball over three times, and they know I'm only down 3-0. That's a win for Lancaster, and they go in there going, yeah, we're right where we want to be. But flip it on the other side is, if Orchard Park tells you I shut Lancaster out in the first half, they're believing, wow, we did everything we're supposed to do also. But the key definitely there is you have three turnovers. You've got to capitalize on those and be able to put some points up on the board.
What is it what Lancaster's defense was able to do? Stuff the run, shut out the pass? Were they getting pressure?
Well, just look at it. I mean, you're talking, 71 yards in the first half right there. And I want to say of the 71 yards, the 52 yards were Stephen Kulikowski, the running back for Orchard Park. So Orchard Park was actually running the ball very well. They just didn't have the passing wasn't go there. It was, I want to say, the first half for both quarterbacks, Manziel was 6 for 11 and Sharp was 5 for 13 in the first half is what it was. With, as you see, minimal yardage. One had 30 yards, Manziel had 30 yards, Sharp had 21 yards. So it wasn't that they were really getting anywhere in the passing game, either team that was there. But I'll tell you, in the second half, both quarterbacks turn around and step up. And I'll tell you, what Manziel did in the second half to throw some passes that he did to Castellana, I thought were incredible.
One touchdown pass was on the money.
Yeah, but he was throwing passes that were only his wide receiver could catch, that were past the defender, over the head of the wide receiver, so only the wide receiver could catch it in stride to do what he did. And the touch that Manziel was putting on the ball inside that second half was absolutely amazing. It really was. You got to give them a ton of credit. And then, again, in the second half, what Lancaster started to do was they were also able to run the ball, which was different from the first half. And then now you're saying is, okay, look, we were able to run the ball. We were able to pass the ball. And then that's when the scoring all started to happen.
Well, you talked about, when we were walking in here, momentum, and how you said you could see momentum going Lancaster's way.
Well, like I said, at halftime, if I'm the Lancaster coaches, I'm actually preaching that, listen, you just did exactly what we've asked you to do. Wow, like, let's come out there and now put some points on the board. We're going to be fine. And, running back Cody Phillips, huge for Lancaster. I mean, he was big also in this game, was a part of the running tack. And then I'll tell you the other kid that we want to throw a shout-out to, who comes up with a big play inside the second half, which actually causes a turnover with the momentum, is Ethan Jurkowski. A great game defensively by him also, which was just unbelievable the way the team steps up out there. And, on the flip side on Orchard Park, I thought defensively Pataki, Gloss, Cross Rapini, all of them did a fantastic job from the linebacker standpoint. The offensive and defensive lines for both teams played very well. The battle of the trenches was a true battle of the trenches that was out there. And then second half, both quarterbacks step up like the quarterbacks that we've asked them to do in the second half. Running game, give credit. Lancaster did not see Stephen Kulikowski the first time around. And in fact, the first time around, one of the big stats that was thrown out, Orchard Park has one rushing yard in the first half against Lancaster, and then they come out with 52 yards in the first half with Stephen Kulikowski running the ball. So I knew Orchard Park felt like, wow, we got our running back. We've got somebody that's going to do. Now we're the true offensive threat. We can run the ball. We can pass the ball. And it was a fantastic game, and we said it. It was going to come down to whoever had the ball at the end. Lancaster scores with 52 seconds left on the clock. And, what a fantastic game. But I'm going to tell you right now, Coach Rupp deserves an amazing amount of credit, what this guy's accomplished. Four straight trips to the stadium, four straight championships. What he's accomplished is just amazing. That staff that he has out there is definitely one of the best staffs in Western New York.
Considering they were in rough shape before he arrived.
So listen to this, too. The last 2 years, the both games at the stadium were teams they lost against in the regular season and came back in the stadium championship game and won. It happened last year versus Bennett. It happened this year versus Orchard Park.
Plus, and they also came back a week or week eight plus, against Clarence. So
plus this
they
year,
beat every team in their division if you count the playoffs.
Right.
We'd be remiss, Tom, if we didn't give a shout. How about a little credit to Sean Davis? A couple of turnovers early. You know, the first turnover fumble, he muffed a punt, and that's how Orchard Park got their field goal. Another turnover, what, the start of the second half? Was it the second half?
Yeah, those was kickoff. The kickoff. He comes running down, and they hit it out of his hand as he was running down.
So four they score to go ahead 10-0. Ensuing kickoff, Sean Davis, the one who fumbled twice, took it to the house.
That's a little bit of redemption.
Is that storybook or what?
Oh, you can't make it up.
But think about this. Orchard Park goes up 10-0, and it looked like, wow, the momentum, everything. Orchard Park's going to run from here. 10 seconds later, Davis comes down, runs it back. It's 10-7. Momentum switch within 10 seconds. I mean,
just
that's
like
how quick it happens.
You know, it was like that. It was stunning. It really was. Yep. Just that's, like that.
Sports can be a heartbreaker like that. It really can. All right, guys, let's take a break. And when we come back, take a look at some of the games going on today. We have two Monsignor Martin games, and we have the three Section 6 championship games at the stadium. So we'll get all into that and more. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us. And at 1 o'clock, the Sabres playing the Lightning in Sweden. So good luck to the Sabres today. Tomorrow you're going to want to obviously keep it locked on WGR Sports Radio 550 for all your Buffalo Bills action. We'll be back after this. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, and then Sports Talk Saturday takes to the air right here, WGR Sports Radio 550. Games going on today. We mentioned the big one. Kenesha St. Joe's, ding, ding, ding.
I can't wait to watch that one.
But I'm going to tell you, and a total different game from the first time they played. Mm-hmm. Remember the first time they played, it hit over 100 out on the field. It was heat. It was hot. It was which team was going to survive the heat, how you were going to do it. Mm-hmm. Look at what we got today.
Man, right? Snowflakes.
But we've been talking about game one. Look at the line play was going to be big. I want to be able to see Canisius right now. We all talked about it. When they go heavy, they've got a great defense that goes in there. But that heavy line doesn't hold up, and they've got to make changes. And when they go smaller, when they go small, can they still stop St. Joe's and that running attack and their offense moving the ball when they go small? That'll be the key to that right there. I want to see what happens when they make those changes defensively.
And these are two whole different points in the season. That was a Joe's team that caught a Canisius team that was 0-2, not really confident. You know, they got up big, and then they let the lead go away. You know, now Canisius, they've found how to win the last few weeks. They're talking to those guys last week after the win over O'Hare.
Because that's a young team.
Talking to Coach Robbins, he said, you know, that's just been the biggest challenge this year. It's just such a young group. But, you know, they're hungry. They really want this one back. But they've found how to win, so we'll see if that carries over.
And then, obviously, you throw out anything that has to do with records or where you are. When these two teams play, it's a different story.
Get your popcorn ready.
It's at a level that you can't imagine.
Like he says, they'll be hungry, because how hungry will they be? They don't want to be a Canisius team that lost to St. Joe's twice in the same year.
Ooh.
Absolutely.
And would be a losing season, too.
Yeah, you're right. And then you have Cardinal O'Hara's taking on St. Mary's Lancaster at 1 o'clock. Cardinal O'Hara and Coach Dudley looking to, it's not selfishly, but to be able to put exclamation point, say, yeah, we were here, and you know, you're going to see good things coming out of that program.
You know, especially because, you know, part of the problems they had was just the number of kids that were able to play. Coming off a fantastic year last year, where we said is they were competing with the St. Joe's, the Canisiuses, and the St. Francis of the world last year with that incredible team, that line play that they had last year. So don't, you know, count what they're capable of. Love to see them have a great game. St. Mary's is another great team out there, so sure. Watch out. Mm-hmm. Winner will take on Tymon next week. Just as at the Canisius St. Joe's game, you're going to have a battle. Listen, we're going to talk about bad blood in a positive way, right? These two don't like each other, period. It's going to be a game. This is one where we can truly say is a rivalry game, and they're going to go at each other. But again, all you're going to do is winner plays another rivalry game next week. Take on Frannies.
That's going to be amazing. And is that at the stadium?
No,
that's at UB. UB, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about
that's
that.
Gonna so be cool.
That's going to be absolutely amazing. And then you've got the games going on today. McKinley, South Park, that's at 3:30. Then you have Wilson is going to take on Southwestern at 6:30. Franklinville, Ellicottville is going to take on Clymer, Sherman, Panama at 12 o'clock.
Evil Frank versus cheese, sausage, and pepperoni.
So, listen. That's a D game. I know that. Do not discount this game. This is a state championship type game. These are two teams that are ranked top in the state that are going to go at each other.
I think it is a de facto state championship. I really do.
That's how good it is. Do not discount this game. This will be a game you want to go see. Check out Logan Frank for Franklinville, Ellicottville. This kid is especially if he has a great game today, you could see his name as one of those finalists for the Conley Cup. So this is a player you want to go see. He's going to bring it. This Franklinville, Ellicottville team is very positive, really believes they're going to go in and win this game. But I'm going to tell you right now, get ready. Because Clymer, Sherman, Panama, CSP, is going to be ready to play this game. You know Coach is going to have them all ready to go. And I love their quarterback, Garrett Hinsdale. This kid, listen, forget about field play. This kid's a great kid to boot. I love talking to him. He's so positive. There's so many things that this kid brings to the table, and he's going to be so successful down the road, whether it's in football, in life, just because of how great of a kid this kid really is. And then watch out. They've got a wide receiver.
Cam Barrymore?
Yep. Cam Barrymore, this kid is legit. And remember, last year he turned it on at the end of the season and had a great game at the stadium. He's a tough kid to block because of his height and what he's capable of as far as athleticism. This is going to be a game. Watch out.
Also had great games at Maine Enwell for the Western semifinal and a good game at the Dome.
Another good game, the Wilson-Southwestern game. You're talking about Southwestern. Everybody's talking. You've mentioned it all year that this is a team that's on a run and on a mission.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They're going to be a tough team to beat. I won't lie. This is a team I think we're going to be talking about going to the state finals. They're that good. I'm not trying to take anything away from Wilson because the year that Wilson had has been unbelievable. Yeah. You know, they have accomplished everything that's been put in front of them. Mm-hmm. And remember, we've discounted them in the two past years going down to Southwestern, and they had played fantastic games that came down to the end.
They lost by a point a year ago,
absolutely.
Right?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Back-to-back years.
Yeah.
Both games was only a point?
Both games they lost on failed two-point conversions. So that stuck in the craw a lot of those kids' memories. That's all, you know, talking to all those kids this week, that's all they talked about. And, you know, it's been cool, you know, because, you know, for Wilson, this is their first trip to the stadium since 1990. So, you know, the community of Wilson is buzzing. There's so many different little tidbits and stories that I found out about a lot of different family members on the team. Declan Ferry, his dad is actually the defensive coordinator, Matt Ferry, and he has the opportunity to break his single season sack record tonight. One, I think he's a half sack behind him, so that's a really cool thing. Bobby Atlas, the son of the head coach, Bill Atlas.
His dad has a sack record?
His dad has a sack record. Now, listen to this. His dad has a sack record. Declan's number two. Declan's uncles are 3-4. Their cousins are the Mahar boys, who Mitch Mahar is one of the starting linebackers. Ben Mahar is the opposite of Declan, edge rusher. He's got 8.5 sacks this year, and he starts a left tackle. And he's the third oldest brother, Evan. He's their the team center, and they've got a fourth brother who's playing youth football. So
when they say we are family, they're not whistling Dixie. Yeah.
They absolutely mean it. All right, guys, thanks much for a great program. Best of luck to the teams playing out today. Go out, support it. Hit that rally up at 12 o'clock at Strad Avenue in North Tonawanda. Save youth football. Thank you to Derek Kramer for producing. We'll talk to you next week with more Inside High School Sports.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.